This is Space Kate, and I'm in Berlin for the International Space Station Symposium. And at the moment, there's a roundtable discussion going on about material science. But I've actually had to leap out of there to do this interview because I'm so excited about a talk that I heard this morning about plasma physics, which, to be honest, I'm not entirely sure I understand at all. But the use of that in medicine, which seemed incredible. And with me, I have Julia Zimmermann, and she's from the Max Planck Institute for Extraterrestrial Physics. That in itself sounds pretty cool in space age. But tell me, what do you have in your hand there?
At the moment, I have in my hand a small plasma wand, actually. It has the size of a torch, and it's battery operated. And in the top, if you screw off the top of the torch, there is a little plasma electrode which produces plasma with the surrounding air. So plasma actually is nothing else than the fourth state of matter. So you have a solid, you have liquid, you have some kind of gas. And if you put more heat into it, you get plasma. So on Earth, you have this, if you look at the lightning just produces a plasma with the surrounding air. So the small little torch, which I have here, produces a lot of mini lightnings in the surrounding air. And this plasma was seen, we found out that this plasma kills very efficiently bacteria, viruses, fungi, and even spores if you get to longer treatment times.
But it actually can... It can work against bacteria that we currently can't really easily treat with antibiotics. So, for example, MRSA, which is resistant to certain antibiotics. Your special plasma wand, I'm just still trying to get my head around this. It can, it can kind of be used against that and yes. Cure people?
So it doesn't distinguish between antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So we looked at MRSA, we looked at EHEC, which was really a terrible disease here in Germany. We looked at Deinococcus radiodurans, which is resistant against some kind of radiation. So it doesn't distinguish between the resistant bacteria or non-resistant bacteria. It just kills them very efficiently and this in seconds.
But how, is this dangerous? I mean, if it can't tell between the different bacteria and viruses, how can it tell between my skin and the bacteria?
Well, it actually cannot. So if you apply the plasma for very, very long treatment times, you will also affect skin cells. But the good thing about everything, it's like aspirin. You will not take 30 or 40 aspirins a day or at once. And there is a dose which is harmless for skin cells, so which you can use, which you can apply, and which harms the bacteria. And this therapeutic window is quite large. So we have a wide range where we can use the plasma to inactivate different microorganisms, but without harming the skin cells.
So we're here at the International Space Station Symposium. So how does this connect with the space station? How did you come about finding all this stuff out?
Actually, this began a lot of years ago. So they did experiments with complex plasmas where they introduced little particles into a plasma. And they wanted to test this under microgravity. And from these plasma experiments on the ISS, then the cold plasmas evolved. And this was done then here research on the Earth. And had, of course, as we were able to produce the plasmas cold, so not hot anymore as the sun, and under atmospheric conditions, we, of course, had a lot of application areas in medicine or in hygiene, which opened up.
Okay, so now you have to forgive me for asking potentially a very stupid question. So you said that plasma is the fourth state of matter, and you have to heat it. So how do you have cold plasma? Doesn't it just become back down to water, gas, water, ice?
No, this is the good thing. We produce homeopathic plasmas. So we just ionize the gas partially. So we do not ionize everything or a large extent, so only 1 in 10 to the 9 particles. And this is how the plasma stays cold. So we, of course, have the fast electrons, which are very hot, but the rest is very cold. So in total, the thing has room temperature.
So let me... I'm holding this thing, and honestly, I feel like I'm holding the future in my hands. It's like watching something from a science fiction thing where you see the doctor come and they just, they go, and there's like a little glow that comes out, and then suddenly you're miraculously healed. I mean, it can't be as, well, not as simple as that, obviously, but it can't be as efficient as that, can it? How long would it take to actually make a difference? If, you know, if I had some bacteria on my hand or a wound on my hand, would I have to keep doing it for days and days and days and days, weeks, months, years, or is it snap and you're done?
It depends on the application. So if you just want to disinfect a wound, yeah, you would apply it for 30 seconds or something like that, and then you would just put the plaster on it and finished.
And this is real, yeah, right? But then, if you've tested this and it works.
Yes, we tested it.
This is
it on
real.
Skin. Yes. So the disinfection works quite fast. Of course, the next day when you get back bacteria into it, you would have to disinfect it again. If you look at chronic wounds, so we have a clinical study with chronic wounds in Schwabing and in Regensburg. Of course, these chronic wounds are infected with all different kinds of bacteria. They are huge. They have several centimeters in diameter. There you have treatment times every day so that you can reach... improvement.
So it works. It's not just a theory, because I've held it in my hand. Why don't we all have one?
Yeah, we need an industrial partner. So we founded a company in last year in May. So the company is Terra Plasma. And of course, we're looking for industrial partners who wants to develop this to an industrial prototype together with us, together with the company. So we're looking for the partners. We have a few. So we have partners which are interested in hand hygiene and are together with us developing a disinfection device for hand hygiene in hospitals and so on. But there are also different application areas. So if you want a handheld device at home, for example, a battery handheld device, or if you want to develop a device which reduces odor in some kind of materials, there are different application areas, and I think the industry has to see the potential and has to tell their aims, their desires, what they have, and go with us.
I just think this can change the world. I'm completely speechless. This is, you know, this is not my most articulate interview, because I'm just, wow. So hang on, could you have something like, could you create a device, like almost like a hand dryer, so before the surgeon goes in to do surgery, or if you're in a hospital, you just press a button, put your hands in, and then you kill off all the bacteria before you go into a hospital, for example?
Yeah, this is under investigation at the moment. So here we have already an industrial partner which is interested in this device. Of course, one has to distinguish, are you interested in just normal hand disinfection? Do you want a device which is in public areas or in hospitals? Different requirements are necessary. If you want surgical hand disinfection, it has to go up to your arm, to your elbow. So there are different possibilities here, and we are actually doing this at the moment here.
What about, like, you know, when you go through an airport and they have the screening gates, could you have something that you walk through? Does it have to be directly on your skin, or can it go through clothes?
It can go through clothes, so we just published a paper here through, so it was accepted. It goes through different textiles. It's like in gas, so it goes through. So this is not a problem, but of course, if you want to disinfect large areas, you also have to take care of the reactive species which you produce, so you have to be on the safe side. That
was interesting, because actually when you switch that on and it makes a little noise, and you can actually smell it, smells a bit like when you're doing lots of photocopying.
Yes.
And you get like
it's
a kind of ozone smell. It's the same thing. Okay. Wow. Okay, what about, I just think it's, sorry, I'm completely bewildered. I think it's incredible. There must be a downside. There must be a downside. Like, there are some things where, like, you know, if there's something that uses magnets and you have a pacemaker, you can't go too close because it, you know, it can affect that. What are the limitations of this?
I think the limitations are to design the perfect plasma. So you need time and a lot of good research scientists. So as you said before, you can smell a slight ozone smell. You have to be sure that the reactive species you produce are below safety limits given by WHO, given by ICNIRP, the International Commission for Radiation Safety, You have to be below OSHA or NIOSH limits for ozone inhaling. You have to produce safe plasmas. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the challenge you have to face if you want to go into the face to disinfect a pimple, for example, or you want to cure herpes. You will be near to the nose, you will be near to the mouth, you maybe will inhale something of this. And that's why we develop technologies which produce safe plasmas. We have possibilities to reduce the ozone. It's not in this device, what you see at the moment. So
so I shouldn't sit smelling that too long then.
It's okay. It's in the open air, so we are below the limits. You can smell ozone quite fast, yeah. Below some kind of thresholds given by NIOSH or OSHA. I think that the challenge is to produce a safe plasma for the desired application you want. Of course, if you want to sterilize medical equipment, you will have to reach log 6 and even log 12 reduction with spores. Of course, we need longer treatment times. We need a more aggressive plasma. So putting aggressive in marks up here, because you're just going onto medical equipment. If you go onto human skin, this, of course, has to be safe for the skin. It has to be safe to the cells. It's something new. It's a new medium. Mm-hmm. And the people have to know this new medium and be confident with it. So I think this is the challenge.
And you can only use it, like, on your skin. You can't use it inside the body, can you? Or could you put it on, like, a... Like, you couldn't use it in the bloodstream. You have to use it directly on the skin, right?
Yeah, so it's a surface application. There are at the moment plans to do inhaling studies. So we have an animal study which was accepted, and we're planning about building a device at the moment for inhaling plasma. So there were a lot of articles because we treated adenoviruses, which are the origin for common flu, mm-hmm. And people were thinking of inhaling the plasma. To cure something like that. I think we're far away from this, but there are, I think, possibilities, even if you have severe inflammation in the lungs and so on, where the patient really suffers or the patient would die, there are possibilities maybe in this direction to also apply the plasma inside. But this is just via inhaling. All other things, you can maybe get ear infections or things like that, but they are just on the surface of the skin.
And so just looking at timescales, I still can't believe I'm holding this in my, holding this in my hand, and it's actually real. In terms of, realistically, when do you think that these devices might actually be available to the public or to medical professions? I mean, these things take time and they have to be tested. You've done clinical studies, though.
Yeah.
So you're already on the way.
Yeah.
But what are we talking? Years, months, years, decades?
Difficult questions to answer because it depends on the application. So if you, for example, just want to reduce bacteria in clothes, in laundry, if you want to reduce the smell, I think this would be quite easy. This could be 1-2 years. If the industry is interested and goes forward with this, a prototype is easily developed. If you go onto human skin, you have to go through clinical studies. So we did phase 1 study, we did a phase 2 study with a huge device. It's as big as a big cupboard. And these little devices have developed from the knowledge we learned. So, and this device, which you were holding in your hand at the moment, this has run through a clinical phase 1 study and is now proposed for clinical phase 2 study on humans with infected wounds. So we're going through this all, but in the end, this is the phase 2 study is only an add-on phase study. So there will be a phase 3 study, which then has to also a contact research organization also has to be involved. This is quite expensive. You have to get through all the safety requirements from the government and so on. So I think this will take a little bit longer. And we, of course, need a huge or a big industrial partner for this to get through all these requirements. Because this is not basic research anymore. So this is then applied research. And that's why we founded the company, to find somebody who is interested to do this.
I'm excited. Are you?
Yeah, I'm still hoping. Yeah, I'm hoping that a lot of people are interested in this and would accept this as a new medium. And I would be very excited if even more industry would be interested in doing this with us.
It's a plasma wand. How can people not be excited? Well, thank you ever so much for your time and good luck with that. I want one. It's great.